Let us pray. Wondrous Creator, we thank you for the gift of life, and in that life, the gift of your call to us to be in relationship with you and with one another. Inspire us in this time to feel again your Spirit move across creation, to hear your voice calling us to new life in Christ, to feel your hands upon us, shaping us as clay, and to breathe anew your holy, life-giving breath. We offer this and all our prayers in the name of Christ, the Word alive at the birthing of creation and alive in us at the dawning of each day. Amen. So we've heard the creation story before, maybe not exactly like that, but we've heard the creation story before, right? Both of them. The first one that we heard today tells us this story of creation, of the creation of the cosmos and everything in it. It's work that took the divine 7 days to do, work that was so exhausting that God took that seventh day to breathe, to rest, and to get ready for what was in store for the rest of creation. It's a great story, and really, it inspires us, right? It's poetic in its own way. God creates everything. All that is out of a chaotic nothing. God puts God's spark and breath into that formless nothing, and bam, a whole lot of somethings. Then there is a dance. A dance of light and dark. But not a light that shines from the sun or the moon or the stars. No, they don't get created until, if you remember, the fourth day. Until then, it's just the light of God pouring out over all of creation. By the end of the fourth day, we have everything that we need for life to get started. We've got land, we've got water, we've got day, we've got night, and the lights in the sky to watch over us. God then spends the next 2 days populating the world with plants and animals of all shapes and sizes, swimmers and flyers, runners and crawlers. Then the world is ready. What's it ready for? Any guesses? You just heard it. What was God getting the world ready for? Us. At the end of the sixth day, God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness." And so God did, creating humankind in God's own image. All that work, days of what could arguably be called intensive labor, creating the cosmos and all that to make a home for humankind. To make a home for you and for me, for all of us together. That should make you feel pretty important, really. That God did all that work to give you life, a world to work in, to run, to sleep in. More than important, you should feel valued and loved because each one of us is precious. Yes, because we are children of God, but also because each of us carries a piece of that grander image of God. And that without you, that image is diminished. The thing is that God didn't just plop us down like animals in a cage for God's own amusement. The reason for our being is actually much more intimate than that. We don't hear the second account of creation in our reading today, but instead we get that big picture. But the other story, it tells us of a hands-on creation of human beings. It's entirely focused on the molding of humanity by God's own hands and the breathing of God's breath into God's image. And ensuring that we are not alone, as we make our way through this world. It's also about the closer relationship and the bond that exists between God and humanity, or the bond that's supposed to exist. So there's more at work than just creating for creating's sake. God made us that we might find relationship with one another and with the divine. We know this because God has, as God has been revealed to us, is in an eternal relationship with God's self, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Gospel of John tells us this when we hear that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We come to know quite quickly that the Word was who? Well, yes, but in the Gospel of John, who do we hear that it is? Walking among us, Jesus Christ. The second person of the Trinity walking among us, born into a time and space, and yet eternal as God the Father, God the Creator is eternal. Eternal as that Spirit that washed over the world in the first moments of creation. Even in the beginning, before the beginning, when there was nothing, God was not alone because the Trinity dances together. Across creation. So God is relationship. And out of that core, God created a world in which could dwell beings who would be in relationship with God. So we aren't created to conquer. We aren't created to exploit. Rather, we are created to be in relationship with one another and with our divine parent. We are created to seek connection, community, and companionship in this world because from the very beginning, we are made to be together, to not be alone. But even as we acknowledge that we are precious in the sight of our Lord, we can't get so wrapped up in that that we forget about the rest of creation, right? The truth is that sometimes we lose sight of the divine spark that dwells in our brothers and sisters. As much as we strive to live into Christ's commandment to love one another, we know that in our lives there are people that we find hard to love. People who grate on our nerves, who scare us irrationally, or who are just so different from ourselves that seeking community with them seems just more work than it's worth. This all sounds pretty harsh, but even though we are beings created in God's own image, we're also creatures of flaws. We are people who make mistakes often. It's just easier for us to distance ourselves from people that we don't get along with because, well, it's easier. It's not that we are lazy, but we prefer comfort, and rarely do we choose a path that takes us out of our comfort zone. It's the same when we come upon people who we fear irrationally. Now, what does that mean, fear irrationally? It's people who look like a stereotype of someone that culture and society has told us to be afraid of. Don't judge a book by its cover is something that we like to say, but rarely do we take the time to read between the lines and truly come to know someone. And along with being creatures of flaws and mistakes, we are also creatures of habit. We like what we know. And when we have to add something different to that comfortable routine in our lives, we struggle. But at the end of the day, these are just excuses. These are stumbling blocks that get in the way of us engaging the holy in a full and life-giving way. Genesis tells us that God's image is reflected in the totality of humankind. That's everybody. And so when we look in the face of those who we have a difficulty connecting with, we're looking into the face of God. We have to honor that. We have to pray for our brothers and sisters who cause us strife. We have to go outside of our comfort zone and truly experience the facets of God's image that are present in the stranger and in the alien. I think we can do that so long as we're willing to be seekers, seeking to know the face of God by offering that unconditional love that Christ invites us to when we see every face that we come across. But there's one face that I've kind of glossed over in this time. I mentioned it a bit earlier when I talked about the value that each person here carries as a created in the image of God. But you can't forget to love yourself. I don't mean a narcissistic, navel-gazing kind of love, but a true valuing of self. Maybe you hear this and you don't get it because you know you're awesome, and you are. But I'm willing to bet that there are a few who wake up in the morning, who look in the mirror, and have a hard time loving what they see. You smile at others, seeing the value of your brothers and sisters in Christ, but you don't extend that love to yourself. And only you and God know the reasons why. And yet God yearns for you. God yearns for you just as God yearns for all of us. Because without you, creation would not be the same. The image of God would not be complete. Something else that I don't often talk about a lot, except at funerals, is the effect that we have on this world. And the truth is, that's too late. It's too late to be talking about that at a funeral because you need to hear it now. Every step that you take in this world is a ripple that shudders the entirety of creation. Every person that you meet and situation that you are involved in is changed simply by your presence. That's what we should see when we look in the mirror. Someone without whom creation as it is simply would not be. That's the value of you. We are each of us, all of us, created out of love, out of a yearning of the divine to have partnership in this work that we call creation. And so we must look upon nature, the cosmos, and each other with the same wonder and love that God did in those first days of creation and continues to do as creation keeps spinning. And yes, even those people who you find it hard to love, God's hand shaped them just as they shaped you. So let us live into that joyous partnership with God and with one another. Let us seek the divine spark that lives in all and give it cause to shine. Let us see the face of Christ in all that we meet. And let us look on them as God looked on creation and smile and say, "Isn't that good?"
Absolutely amazing.
Amen.